Last week we finished the 18 Nibbana Rupas, or concretely produced matter. Now today we'll study the other ones. Anibbana Rupa, non-concrete matter. Now, the first 18 are the real rupas, real matter. And the other ones beginning with the space element are not real rupas. And they are called in Pali anibbana, and it is translated as non-concretely produced matter. Actually, non should be connected with produced, so not concretely produced, or not produced concretely. That means these 12 rupas does not arise from the four causes of matter. Now we'll study the causes of matter in the third section. So these 12, beginning with the space element, exist as attributes or some modes of the concretely produced matter. That means they are not concrete matter, but they are some quality or some attribute of the concrete matter. So they are actually not included in the Paramattha Dhammas, and they are not included in those that are object of Vipassana meditation. And if you look at the beginning of the seventh chapter, page 264, now you'll find Guide to Section 1, the 72 kinds of entities, the four ultimate realities that have been described in the first six chapters can be analyzed into 72 distinct entities. So 72, and they are called Vattu Dhamma. That is, phenomena which exist with intrinsic natures. So they have their own existence, their own intrinsic nature. They are called Sabhava Rupa, and they are consciousness, taken as one, 52 chetasikas, taken as 52, and then 18 concretely produced material phenomena. That means 18 Nibbana Rupas. And the last one is Nibbana, which is one. So when we add them up, we get 72 kinds of phenomena. Okay. Now, there are altogether, how many? 10, not 12. 10 Anibbana Rupas. The first one is called limiting phenomenon. That means this material property or this rupa delimits the groups of rupas. Now, rupas will be treated as groups in the fourth section of this chapter. This space element delimits or separates one group from another. Actually, when the group of matters meet together, although they touch, there is a kind of space between them. There is a separation between them. And that separation between among different groups of matter is called akasa dhatu, space element. So this is just space, and so it is not caused by anything, and it has no actual existence. Just the whiteness between two or more groups of material properties, and that is called akasa dhatu, space element. Actually, there are four kinds of akasa, or space. The first one is, let us call open space. The Pali word is ajita akasa, that means non, what do you call that? Unentangled space. So that means just open space. Like we see now, say, open space between the earth and the sky, and these open spaces are called ajita akasa. And then the next one is called delimited space. That is the space in the windows and doors, or the space in the pots and vessels and so on. So that space is called delimited space, parichinna akasa in Pali. And the third kind of space is the concept of space, which is the object of the first Arupavachara consciousness. The object of first Arupavachara consciousness is a concept of infinite space. So that is called space obtained by removing the kasina object or kasina sign. And the last one is this one, delimiting space. So the second and the fourth are different. The second is delimited space, space which is limited by other things, by a door, by a window, by a vessel, by a pot, a hole. Is the space and the hole is called that delimited space. Now this, the fourth one, is delimiting space. That means it delimits or it separates different groups of material phenomena. So only this is called space element here, the last one. The next two rupas are called vinyati rupas. Vinyati means making known. So it is translated as intimating material phenomena by kaya vinyati or vachi vinyati. We make our intentions, our desires known to other people. So those are called intimation or intimating material phenomena. So we communicate by these intimating material phenomena. Now, it is a particular mode or modification in the material properties. Now, the first one is kaya vinyati, bodily intimation. That means intimation by the body. Now, when I make this gesture, right, especially in this country, not in our countries. In our countries, we use another kind of gesture. So when I make this gesture, you know that I want you to come here, right? Come here, like that. So this, the movement of my fingers, movement of my hand, there is some kind of particular mode in this movement. Not all movement is called vinyati, because the movement of the trees doesn't make us know anything. It is just movement. But when I move my hand like this, you know that I want you to come here. So some mode in this movement is what is called kaya vinyati, bodily intimation. And this movement arises because I have first the intention to move the hand. I want you to know that I want you to come. So I move my hand. So before moving my hand, I have the desire or intention to move. And that intention or the moments of consciousness of intention arise and disappear billions of times. Now, that intention or the consciousness accompanied by intention produces material properties, rupas, especially vayo, I mean the air element. So it produces a great amount of vayo, the air element. And what we see to be movement is actually the increase of that vayo. So the all material particles disappear, and in its place, new material particles take place. And when all material particles disappear and new material particles take place, they take place in a very small distance from the one that has disappeared. So that arising of the new material particles in a new place makes us think that there is a movement of the hand. So in the books it is stated that the ultimate realities never move. There is no movement in ultimate realities. So it is difficult to understand. But why do we think that there is movement? Because there is the increase of vayo dhatu in the hand. Now, when vayo dhatu increases, the other material properties, especially the other three essentials, also increase. And so, by their increase, we think that there is a movement in the hand. So actually, nothing moves from one place to another. The material properties arise here and disappear here. And then there is a new material property arising and then disappearing. And then another one like that. So it is like a movie film. Now, on the frames of the movie film, there is the image. One image is just a little bit different from another image, right? Imperceptible, actually. But there is a difference between one image and another, one frame and another. But these, when those pictures are projected on the screen and made to move, say, 30 frames a second and so on, then we think that the pictures are moving. Actually, we do not see pictures moving. We see pictures, different pictures at different places, and then our minds combine those pictures into one moving picture. So what we see is not a moving picture, but many pictures at different places. So here, make a gesture like this, then there is movement in my hand, and that movement which I make with the intention of calling you is what is called kaya vinyati. So there is kaya vinyati in movements when we intend to call something or intend to let you know some kind of my desire or my idea. But not every movement is kaya vinyati, because when we are asleep, our bodies move. But in that case, nobody knows what you mean or what we mean, and so there is no vinyati in those movements. So that is called kaya vinyati, bodily intimation. The second one is vachi vinyati, vocal intimation. That means speech. I make my my desire, my intention known to you by speech, by talking to you. I will say, come. Now you know that I want you to come here. So, by these words, what means by this sound, saddha, I make you understand that I want you to come to me. So, that the my saying come is what is called vachi vinyati. Here also, the sound come is not the vachi vinyati, but something inherent in that sound, that I make the sound and I have the intention for you to come. And so that particular mode of sound in my mouth, which issued from my mouth, is what is called vachi vinyati. So it is very close to sound. And when I want to say something, now, again, I have the intention to make that sound. And that produces what is called the first one, earth element of bhatavi dhatu. So it produces bhatavi dhatu in my throat, and that bhatavi dhatu, maybe many particles of bhatavi dhatu, how do you call that? I don't know the word. Pushes against the other dhatus in the throat. So they meet together and, friction, right? So that friction makes the sound come out. So in this case, what is in excess or what is prominent is the bhatavi, the earth element. In the case of kaya vinyati, what is in excess or what is prominent is air element. So in kaya vinyati there's an excess of air element, and in vachi vinyati there is an excess of bhatavi, earth element. So sound is just that friction, the outcome of that friction between one element and another or others. So when we say something, we are letting other people know what we want or what we desire, what we intend, what we mean. And so that sound, that speech is what is called vachi vinyati, vocal intimation. So these are also not separate material properties, actually. Modification that we detect in the hand or in the sound. So that particular mode is what is called vinyati. And that vinyati is said to be not visible. What you see is not vinyati, but the visible object in my hand. But from this, you infer that he wants me to come like that. So actually, vinyati cannot be seen. You know, when we classify into the different classes, you will see that among the 28 material properties, only one can be seen. The others cannot be seen. Seen with the eyes. So the others cannot can be seen only through mind. So vinyati are those that are not visible to the physical eyes. Okay. So these two are called here vinyati rupa. Now the next group is called vikara rupa, mutable phenomena. That means the change, or here also a special quality or a special mode of the phenomena. So there are three of them, and they are rupasa lahuta, rupasa mududa, rupasa kammanyata. Now you have met these three words, lahuta, mududa, and kammanyata. and 52 Chetasikas. So they mean the same. So Lahuda means lightness, Mududa means softness, so malleability, and Kamanyada means wieldiness. So this was difficult to understand in English, and also in Pali difficult to understand. Lahuda is not difficult to understand. That is lightness of rupa. So when the climate is good, when the weather is fine, so we feel our bodies to be light, right? Or when we have good food, or when we are healthy, we feel that lightness in our body. So that is rupasa lahuta. Rupasa mududa is it is compared to the leather which is well pressed. So when I think they have to press or to what do you call this?
To smash
the leather so that it becomes soft and you can make it into anything. So something like that. So mududa, literal translation of mududa is softness. That also we feel when the weather is good, when we are healthy. And rupasa kamanyada, wildiness. Now it is compared to gold, which is refined. When gold is really, really refined, then you can make this gold into any ornament you like easily. So kamanyada is like that. And these three arise always together. When there is lahuda, there is also mududa and kamanyada. And these three are found only in living beings and not in outside things. Now, the two vinyati rupas, intimating material phenomena, and three mutable phenomena, they are called vikara rupa. So there are five vikara rupas, two vinyatis and three, we don't know, I don't know, huh?
Mutables,
vikara rupas, right. So they are called vikara rupas. They are a kind of some mode or modification or some attribute of the concretely produced matter. Now we come to the last group, and they are called lakkhana rupa, characteristics of matter or signs of matter. Now we are familiar with three signs, right? What are the three signs? Impermanence, suffering, and no soul. But here, the signs are different. The beginning, the middle, and the end. And they are called characteristics of matter. The first one is called rupasa upacaya, and it is translated as production. The second, rupasa santati, continuity. Actually, production of matter, continuity of matter. Rupasa jarada, decay of matter. Rupasa anicada, impermanence of matter. Impermanence here means end or dissolution or death of matter. Now, the first two, upacaya and santati, are both terms for the genesis or arising of birth of matter. So the arising of matter is called by two names here, upacaya and santati. So the commentators try to explain the difference between upacaya and santati. So, in the word upacaya, upa has two meanings. One is first. So, upacaya means first arising. And the other is, the literal meaning is above. That means later. So, arising first and arising later. That is called upacaya. One arising has two modes here. First arising and later arising. And after that, there is the continuity of material properties arising. So that is called santati or continuity. Now, at relinking, for, let's say, human beings, 30 material properties arise. So at relinking, there is a arising of 30 material properties, and that arising is called upacaya. And they will arise from that moment on, because they are born of karma, and so they will arise at every moment. So they will arise again and again and again. And when they arise again and again, they are still upacaya. Until the time comes when all material properties in one life arise fully. That means in the mother's womb, the fetus gets eyes, ears, and so on about 11th week after conception. That is according to the commentaries here. So, until that time, let us say, until the 11th week, these material properties arise. So the first arising of the material properties at the moment of relinking, patisanti, is upacaya. And also, they are arising until the 11th week is called upacaya. But from the 11th week on, their arising is called santati, the whole life, until 17 moments before death consciousness. So in one life, upacaya can be understood to have taken place at the moment of relinking and also until about 11 weeks, if it is a human being. But if it is a deva, they have all necessary material properties right at the moment of relinking. So they are arising at the relinking is called upacaya, and then the others santati, continuity. So just one arising is here called by two names, upacaya and santati. Jarada, you know jarada, decay, getting old. Now, what is the lifespan of material property? What is the lifespan of rupa? How many thought moments? 17 or 51 sub-moments. Now, the first one is called upacaya and santati. And then 49 in between are called jarada, decay. And the 51st is called here anicca, death. So the first moment is upacaya and santati. 49 moments are jarada, decay, and the 51st moment is anicca, death. Actually, they are also not concrete matter. They are the marks of concrete matter. Oh, this is when the concrete matter arises. This is when it gets old, and this is when it gets it dies. And so they are, since they are marks of the concrete matter, they are called lakkhana rupa, or characteristics of matter. So there are four of them: production, continuity, decay, and impermanence. Okay, now we come to the end of 28 material properties. So 28 material properties are grouped into 11 groups. The first group is what? The four essential phenomena, right? Mahabhuda or Buddha Rupa. And then the second, Pasada Rupa, sensitive phenomena. Third, Gochara Rupa, objective phenomena. Fourth is Bhava Rupa, sexual phenomena. And fifth, Hadaya Rupa, heart base. And sixth, Jivida Rupa, life faculty. Seven, Ahara, nutriment. And eight, Paricheda Rupa, limiting phenomena. And nine, Vinyati Rupa, communicating phenomena. And 10, Vikara Rupa, mutable phenomena. And 11, Lakkhana Rupa, characteristics of matter. So, by group, there are 11 groups. And by counting one separately, we get 28 material properties. And among them, the first 18 are called Nibbana Rupa, concretely produced matter, and the other 10 are called Anibbana Rupa, non-concrete matter. These 28 material properties may be compared to the periodic table in chemistry. They are also, they have arranged the element into some order, right? just as the elements in the periodic table are the components of what we call matter, these 28 material properties are, according to Abhidhamma, the say building blocks of what we call material things, including living beings. Again, 28 material properties can be divided into two. What are the two? Essentials, four essentials, and 24 dependent matter. Dependent matter means those that depend on the four essentials for their arising. So only when there are four essentials can they arise. If there are no four essentials, they cannot arise. So they are called dependent phenomena. And it is mostly translated as derived phenomena. Right? And that is not so good. So we'll use the word dependent phenomena. So in Pali, they are called Buddha Rupa and Upada Rupa. You must be familiar with these terms. When you study Pathana, you'll find this many times: Upada Rupa and Buddha Rupa. So four Buddha Rupas and 24 Upada Rupas. Among 24 Upada Rupas, there are eye sensitivity and so on, Rupa and so on, and then femininity, masculinity, heart, life principle, nutriment. And then the non-concrete matter, they are limiting phenomenon, communicating phenomena, and mutable phenomena and characteristics of matter. Now, let's go back to the beginning. How many Buddha Rupas are there? Four, right? And then, how many Pasada Rupas, sensitivities? Five, yes. And how many objective Rupas? Five or seven?
Seven.
Because Potapa is Patavi, Tejo, and Vayo. So seven. Gojara. And then Bhava Rupa, sexual phenomena, two. Heart, only one. Life, principle, only one. And nutriment, only one. And then limiting, one. And communicating or intimation, two. Mutable, three or five. Actually, five, yeah? Including the intimations. And then characteristics, four. Okay, so we get 28 material properties. So these will be like the 89 types of consciousness. You may draw a diagram with dots showing these 28 if you want to. I think Newt has done this before. Now, next section. The next section is called in Pali Rupa Vibhaga, classification of matter. So matter will be classified into different things. Now first, all matter is just one. First, matter is just one by its characteristic. What is the characteristic of matter? Change. So, by that characteristic, there is only one kind of rupa. And that rupa is said to be what? Ahetuka. Rootless. Sa paccaya. With conditions. With conditions means caused by conditions. Sankhata. Again. Sasava. Sasava means with asavas. Asava means taints or cankers. You'll study the asavas in the seventh chapter. There are four asavas. So sasava means literally with asavas. And then sankhata. Conditioned by four causes. And Lokiya belong to mundane world or belong to five aggregates of clinging. And Kama Vajra, object of sense desire. And then anaramana, no object. They don't take any object. They have no ability to take object. And taking object is the ability of mind and not of matter. And then appahadava, they cannot be abandoned. Abandoned means like abandoning mental defilement. So we cannot abandon any of the rupas. So they are they cannot be abandoned. So we must understand that rupa has these qualities. So first, ahituka. Rupa is without roots. It does not associate with wholesome roots or unwholesome roots or neutral, indeterminate roots. Because it is a rupa, and so there is no lobha, dosa, moha with it. So it is called ahetuka. So association with roots being restricted to mental phenomena, only chetas can be said to be, chetas and chetasika can be said to be with roots. This cheta is with root, this cheta is without root, this chetasika is with root, this chetasika is without root, and so on. But not of rupa. So rupa is always ahituka. And then sapacaya, with conditions. That means they are dependent upon conditions. They are dependent upon four causes. So four causes of matter. They are kama, citta, utu, and ahara. So the next section deals with them. And sasava, they are with asavas. That means they are object of asavas. Lobha, ditti, and moha are asavas. There are four asavas, but in reality there are three. Lobha, ditti, and moha. So the matter is the object of lobha, ditti, and moha. So they are called sasava. Sankhada. They are all conditioned. It means the same as sapacaya. They have causes, they are conditioned. So rupa is never asankhada. Rupa is always sankhada. It always arises depending upon conditions. And then logia, it belongs to the world of five aggregates. So rupa is never logotara. But citta, some cittas are logia, mundane, and some cittas logotara. But rupa is always mundane, logia. And kama vajara, rupa is the object of sensual craving or sensual desire or desire for senses. Now, whether rupa arises in the Brahma world or not, it is called kama vajara. Because it is the object of sense desire. You may remember the classification of objects into kama vajara object, rupa vajara object, kama vajara object, mahagata object, and lokutra object. So there, kama vajara object means kama vajara chetas, chetasikas, and rupa. So rupa belongs to kama vajara objects. So it is called kama vajara objects because it is the object of sense desire. So whether rupa arises in the human world or in the deva world or the Brahma world, it is called kama vajara. And then anaramana, it does not take object. So it is without an object. So it does not know the object. It does not cognize the object. Actually, it is the object. So since it is the object and it has no power of cognition, it is called anaramana. Now, that is also the difference between rupa and nama. Nama can be both, right? Object and, let's say, subject. One nama can take another nama as object. So nama can be sometimes subject and sometimes object. But rupa is always object. It is never a subject because it never takes an object. It never knows an object. It never cognizes an object. And then apahadava cannot be abandoned or not to be abandoned. like the defilements. When a person attains enlightenment, when a person attains the first stage of enlightenment, he eradicates, he abandons some mental defilements, doubt and wrong view, right? So, but he does not abandon any matter, any rupa, because rupa cannot be abandoned. So even though one becomes an arahant, rupas are still there. So no rupa is abandoned. So they are called appahadabha. They can never be abandoned. So just one rupa, one rupa according to characteristics and one rupa according to these qualifications like ahituka, sapajya, can be of many kinds when conceived as internal and external and so on. So from now on, rupa will be classified as consisting of two kinds or three kinds, maybe, so on. Pasara rupa. They are eye sensitivity, ear sensitivity, nose, tongue, and body sensitivity. They are called internal. In Pali, ajjatika. So these five are called ajjatika, internal. Now, it may be a little confusing because every material property we possess, we have, is internal, right? It is in us. But here, only these five are called ajjatika, internal. And that is because they are very beneficial to us. If we do not have eyes, ears, and so on, we cannot function as a human being. So we'll be like a piece of log. So they are so beneficial to us that only those we call internal. If someone is so beneficial to you, you may call him an internal person. He is among us or something like that. So in the same way, since these five are so beneficial to our lives, we call them inner internal rupas or inner rupas. So these five. When these are called internal, the rest are called external. So here, external does not mean outside the body. They are still inside the body, but they are not as beneficial as the five sensitivities. So here they are called external rupas. And the next is what? Six. Sensitive organs and the heart. So that means five pasadas and hadaya. Six. These six are called vattu rupa, right? Because they are bases. Now you are familiar with bases. How many bases are there? Six bases. You study bases in the third chapter. So these are called base rupa because they are the seat of consciousness, right? Eye sensitivity is the seat of seeing consciousness and so on. So they are called vattu rupa. When these six are called vattu rupa, the other, how many? 22 are called avattu rupa, non-based matter. And then seven kinds comprising the sensitive organs and the two media of intimation. That means eye sensitivity and so on, five, and then bodily intimation and vocal intimation. These seven are called what rupas? Dwara rupas, door rupas, door material properties. And the rest are called not doors or non-door rupa. Now you know the five senses are called doors, right? Because through them the mind, this is seeing consciousness as other arises. And the two bodily intimation and vocal intimation are called dwara because they are the doors for karma to arise. Through bodily intimation and verbal vocal intimation, we acquire karma. So they are called dwara. Not that they are seat of consciousness, but when we do something with body, then we have some kind of vinyati there. And when we lie, tell a lie, there is some kind of vachi vinyati there. And so they are the doors of karma. So here they are called dwara rupa, door matter. And then the eight kinds comprising the sensitive organs, oh, they are always there. Sex states and life. So five sensitivities, femininity, masculinity, and what other? Life, jivita. So these eight are called what? Indriya, faculty rupas. Indriya means what? Having authority. Because they exercise a controlling power in their respective spheres. That means if you have no eyes, you do not see. So the eyes have the controlling power over seeing. And if your eyes are weak, your seeing consciousness is weak. If your eyes are not good, your seeing consciousness is not good. And if your eyes are good, then your seeing consciousness is good. So the eyes control the seeing consciousness. So they have the controlling power or authority over seeing. The same with hearing and so on. And then to the two bhava rupa sexual phenomena. they control the masculine or feminine features and traits. That means when a person is a man, then his movement, his way of playing, his way of speaking and so on are different from those of women. And so these faculties control the features and traits of male and female. And life faculty controls the coexistent types of matter. As a pilot controls a ship. Life faculty is compared to what? You remember? Life faculty. A lotus. Water in the lotus stalk, right? So when there is water in the lotus stalk, it keeps the lotus fresh, right? So this jivita, life principle, controls the coexistent types of matter. That means the matter does not arise singly, right? Matter arises together. So it arises together with other material properties. And so when they arise and it arises, it maintains them, it controls them, it keeps them existing until they die. Not it keeps them eternally, but it keeps them alive until they die. That means, you know, the material properties have 51 moments. So until the 51st moment or 50th moment, it keeps them fresh, or it keeps them alive. And it is compared to a pilot who controls a ship. But here, I think, it's not quite what is meant in the commentaries. Now, I think I told you about this last time. Did I? If life principle controls other material properties, what controls it? If jivita maintains others, protects others, what protects it? What protects, what controls it, right? And then the simile of, the analogy of a boatman and a boat is given there. So the meaning there is, when the boatman take the boat to the other side, other shore, he takes himself also. Or when he takes people on the boat to the other shore, he takes himself also, because he is connected with. What's happening? He is connected with the boat. So, although he does not take, he does not mean to take himself, as he takes the boat to the other shore, he takes himself too. In the same way, the life faculty, it keeps others, it maintains other material properties, but while it maintains other material properties, it maintains itself also, because it is connected with other material properties. So that is the meaning here. But the pilot controls its ship is not so good an analogy. Okay, 8 kinds of. Then 12 kinds, comprising the 5 sensitive organs and 7 sense objects. 12, right? Eye sensitivity and so on, body sensitivity, so they are 5. And then what? 7 sense objects means visible object, sound, smell, taste, earth, fire, and air. So altogether, 12. 5 and 7, 12. They are called what? Gross, or Larika in Pali. Proximate, near, and sapadiga, with impingement, with impinging. So impinging material phenomena. Then the rest are called subtle, distant, and non-impinging. Now, the sense organs and the corresponding objects, they are subject and object, and so they are said to be gross. Now here, gross does not mean rough or big or whatever. Gross simply means it is easier to see, easier to perceive, not difficult to perceive. Because when you see something, you see that you know that there is eye sensitivity, and you see the visible object, and so they are not difficult to see. So they are easy to see, easy to perceive. That is why they are called gross. Not that they are more substantial than, or they are rougher than the other subtle matter. But here, gross means just easy to see, easy to perceive. Proximate or near. So what is near is easy to see. So they are called near. And also, they are with impinging. That means they come into contact. The eye and the visible object, the ear and the ear sensitivity and the sound. And so there is a kind of impinging, a kind of contact. So they are called sappadika rupa. The rest, I think 16, right? The rest are called sukuma rupa, subtle rupa. Not so easy to see, not so easy to perceive. Abo, the water element is said to be a sukuma rupa, a subtle matter. So it's not easy to see. We can see the water, but it's not easy to perceive the water element or trickling characteristic of or cohesion of water element. So it is not as easy to see as the other elements. What is not easy to see seems to be far away. So they are called distant. So here also it is we should not understand distance as real distance, but just it's not as easy to see as the other ones. So they are said to be at a distance and non-impinging. There is no coming together of these. And then, material phenomena born of karma are called upadina, and the others are called anupadina. Now, this term must be understood properly and correctly, because many people make mistakes about this term. The word upadina, is composed of upa and adina. Now, upa here means kama, which is the object of craving and wrong view. Upa means approached. Literally, it means approached. So here, kama approached by craving and wrong view. That means kama, which is the object of craving and wrong view. Or kama, which is concomitant with craving and wrong view. Actually, it is the object of craving and wrong view. Because if it is kusala kama, they do not arise together. But still, the kusala kama is the object of craving and wrong view. So, upa here means approach, approached by craving and wrong view. And adina means taken. Taken here means something like claiming. It is claimed by karma as its results. So that is called upadina. Something that is claimed by karma as its result. It is as though karma were to come forward and say, these are my results. These are the results I produce. Something like that. So they are called upadina. So it is usually translated as clung to, but actually upadina means those that are born of karma. Then the others are not upadina, so they are called anupadina, those that are not born of karma. If they are not born of karma, they are born of citta, uttu, and ahara. So those that are born of karma are called clung to or upadina, and the others are called not clung to, anupadina. Now, in the book, in the manual, it should be noted that unlike the other pairs of terms used for the purpose of classification, the pair clung to and not clung to does not establish a mutually exclusive dichotomy. You'll understand more clearly when you get to the next section. For nine kinds of material phenomena born of karma can also originate from other causes. There are 18 material properties caused by karma. Nine are caused by karma only, and the other nine are caused by karma and others as well. So they are not mutually exclusive. That is one thing. But there is another thing to understand is that I thought he would write it here. No. Oh, yes. Generally, however, in a less technical sense, all organic matter in the body is referred to as klantu, while inorganic matter is spoken of as not klantu. Now, that is important. The word upadena, strictly according to Abhidhamma, means upadena means rupa born of karma. And anupadena means rupa born of not karma. That means rupa born of other three causes. But in Vinaya and in other places, upadena simply means organic matter. That means matter in living beings. And anupadena means outside things like this. So that you should understand. Otherwise you make mistakes in interpreting. Especially in Vinaya, we find this upadena, anupadena many times. And so if you translate their upadena as just clung to or born of karma, you are wrong. So their upadena rupa means, how do you call that? Animate, right? Animate rupa. And anupadena means inanimate, outside things. So we must understand that upadena and anupadena has two meanings each. According to Abhidhamma, or in Abhidhamma, upadena means born of karma. And anupadena means born of citta, utu, and ahara. But in general usage, upadena means animate matter. And anupadena means inanimate matter. Now, monks are not allowed to touch women. So, women are upadena. They are animate, right? But we can touch this desk. So the desk is anupadena. So there is no offense for us to when we touch anupadena. But with regard to upadena, we are not touch women. So these words are used there, and you must understand that upadena means animate matter and so on. Otherwise, if you take upadena to mean just rupa born of karma, you will be wrong there. So please understand these two words, no? Upadena and anupadena. And then the next, because we started late, though, so we'll finish late. It's okay. The visible form is visible. The rest are non-visible. Now, among 28 material properties, only one can be seen. And that is what? Rupa, visible object. So rupa only can be seen among 28 material properties. The others you cannot see with your eyes. You can see with your mind. And then, eye and ear are called not reaching their object. Asampatta. They are called as, right? And nose, tongue, and body are called sampatta. Now, here, the sampatta means not reaching, actually. Reaching it. That means what can I say, coming to you. So eye and ear takes the object which do not reach them. That means before they reach them. And also, eye and ear do not go out and take the object outside. And we can see also that meaning. But the correct meaning is that they take objects that have not reached them yet. Now, the material properties, or let's say the sound, right? The sound waves come, and sound waves come and hit our ear. So according to Abhidhamma, we take the sound before the sound hits the ear. Maybe just close to the ear, but not yet it has reached the ear. So the eye and ear are said to be asampada, and then we put the word gahaka after it, and we call asampada gahaka. That means taking objects which have not reached them. But the nose, tongue, and body are called those that take objects which have reached them. That's understandable. The smell. As long as it does not come in contact with your nose, you don't feel the smell. Yeah, you don't get the smell, taste, and touch also. So they are called sampatta gahaka. But there is a difference of opinion among teachers before the time of the commentaries. So there is what is called maha-attha-katha. That means the original commentaries. And then when Buddhaghosa wrote his new commentaries, he took many from the maha-attha-katha. So the authors of maha-attha-katha thinks that they take the object which has reached them. So there is difference of opinion. But the opinion of the Venerable Bodhaghosa, or maybe his or the opinion of those elders at the Mahavihara in Sri Lanka, and that opinion prevails. And so later others or later monks follow them. So the Venerable Anuruddha also follows them. So he states here as eye and ear as taking objects that have not reached them, and nose and others as those that take objects that have reached them. So we may or may not agree with that. And these five, altogether five, right? Eye sensitivity, ear sensitivity, nose, tongue, and body sensitivity. These five are called gochara gahika. Gochara means object, and gahika means take. So these five are called those that take object. And the others are called a gochara gahika, those that do not take objects. So the five are called what? Those that take object, gochara gahika. And the others are called a gochara gahika, those that do not take object. Now, at the beginning of this section, rupa is said to be not taking objects, anaramana, right? But here I said, it takes the object. So here we should understand that it takes the object here. The eye and ear, they take the object means actually not they themselves, but the eye consciousness and ear consciousness that arise depending on them takes the object. That is why they are also said to be said to take objects. Actually, rupa cannot take objects, right? Yeah. Okay, the last one. The inseparable ones, they are what? One no, visible object or color, gando, smell, raso, taste, oja. Oja means nutritive essence or nutrition. And then, bhuta cittuka, the four essentials. The eight kinds of material phenomena that are inseparable. So they are called, these eight are called, in Pali, avinibhoga. That cannot be separated. And the others, the rest are called, vinibhoga. That can be separated. That can be separate. Now these eight are everywhere. In every particle of matter, even however small it may be, there are these eight particles. So we may reduce the material properties to the smallest atom or subatom. But even in that subatomic particle, according to Abhidhamma, there are these eight properties, color, odor, and so on. So these cannot be separated. But we can understand them, we can separate them with our minds, right? We say there are color, odor, taste, and so on. But actually we cannot separate them physically. And the four essentials, the four patavi, earth element, water element, fire element, and air element, they cannot be separated. So there are always these eight material properties everywhere. And that is why they are called inseparables. And the others exist separately and they can be separated. Eye sensitivity and ear sensitivity, they do not arise together, right? So they are separate. We know that there is no eye sensitivity in the ear sensitivity and ear sensitivity in the eye sensitivity. But in a particle of matter, we say, oh, there is color, there is smell, there is taste, and so on. So these eight are called inseparable eight, and the rest are called separable ones. And these eight will be the basis for forming groups. So when we form groups, we will take these eight as a basis. And then we will add one thing, one material particle to it, or two particles, or three particles, and so on. So we will study them in the third section. And these eight elements are collectively known as, now, on page 246, collectively known as pure octet. That means pure group of eight material properties. In Pali, they are called suddhataka. Now, suddha means pure. Pure means not mixed with others. And ataka means a group of eight. So a pure group of eight material properties. And also, they are collectively called ojatamaga, a group with nutritive essence as the eighth. Because there is nutritive essence among the eight, right? Color, odor, taste, nutritive essence. So they are called ojatamaga. So these two terms, if you read the commentaries in Pali, you will find these two terms here and there. especially in the commentaries to Abhidhamma, to Suddhataka and Ojjhatamaka. They mean the same thing. Suddhataka means the eight material properties, and Ojjhatamaka also means the eight material properties. So these eight material properties cannot be separated. So they are always in every particle of matter. So these 28 material properties can be divided into many, many classifications, like internal and external, base and non-base, door and non-door, and so on. So the basis here of these classifications is, I think, the five sensitive phenomena, right? First, the five sensitive phenomena are internal, right? And the others are external. They add one thing, heart. And they are called base, vatu rupa, and the rest are vatu. And then what? Add two. What are those two? Vinyati. Right. So 5 plus 2, 7. And they are dua rupa. Then the rest are non dua rupa. Okay. Then add three. What are the three? These five? Bhava, two bhavas and one? Jivita. So in Pali you can say pasada bhava jivita, right? Pasada means the five sensitivities. So pasada bhava jivita, altogether eight. They are called what rupa? Faculty, indriya rupa. And the rest are anindriya. Non-faculty. And then, how many? 12. What are the 12? Pasada and visaya. Right? 5 pasadas and 7 visaya, gojara. But here, the word visaya is used in the manual. So, pasada and visaya, or pasada and gojara, 12. They are called what? Gross, near. Gross, near, impinging. And the rest are called subtle, distant, non-impinging. Okay. And then, those that are born of karma. Actually, there are 18. We will see them later. So they are called, the Pali name? Upadina. And the others are called? Anubadina. Right. And you must understand Upadina and Anubadina meaning differently. Right? Animate and inanimate. And then what? Well, only one. Rupa. Right? Visible object. Right. That one is the only one that can be seen, and the others that cannot be seen. Or here it is said they are with seeing and without seeing. That's the same thing. And then those that take the object that have not yet reached them, there are two. What? Eye and ear. And then those that is the object that have reached them. Nose, tongue, and body. And these five are called object taking, right? Object taking rupas. Gochara gahiga. Object taking rupas. And then those that can be separated are not, that cannot be separated, and those that can be separated. So, what is the Pali name for them? Avinibbhoga. And the other one? vinibhoga. So avinibhoga and vinibhoga. And how many of them are there? Avinibhoga? Eight. What are they? Rupa. Smell, right? Say visible object, smell. Smell and odor are the same. Taste. Yeah. And then, oja means nutrition. And then four essentials. So four essentials, let's say color. Four essentials, color, smell, taste, and nutrition. So these four are called avinibhoga rupa. And the rest are called vinibhoga. Can you tell me the another name for avinibhoga rupa? Inseparables? Suddhataka, right? Pure octet. And another name? Oja Tamaka. Oja as the eighth. Oja Tamaka. So these are three names, right? Avinibhoga, Suddhataka, Oja Tamaka. We will find the word Suddhataka in the fourth section. Right, okay.